The Coram Deo Church Community is a church rooted in the gospel of Jesus Christ and committed to living on mission in the city of Omaha. For more information, visit cdomaha.com.
So glad that you're here with us. I don't know about you, but I absolutely love this time of year. There are some very distinct things about this time of year that tend to prey on a sense of nostalgia, a sense of sentiment in our minds, in our hearts. And I'll be honest, it's the season that I love, not necessarily these 2 days, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day with little kids. I'm a little bit taxed. I'm a little bit wiped out. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to make it through tomorrow night. We've already done one family meal and presents and, well, grandparents. I love grandparents. I'm glad that you exist, but you spoil kids and you make things difficult for dads like me. But I love you and I'm glad that you're here. And I love this season. I honestly do love this season. And whether or not you like this season or whether you could take this season or leave it, you cannot deny the fact that there's a dramatic shift that happens in our culture this time of year. The music changes. Christmas music is sprinkled into at least every genre that's out there. The landscape changes, right? Lights go up on houses. Fake trees find their way into our home. In our entryway, my two daughters have an illuminated angel named Gloria in the entryway. Things just change. They look different. The food changes, right? There's no other Wednesday you're going to wake up in the morning craving eggnog and fudge. I hope, right? But it's just, it's what happens. And I love this season. I love this time of year. And it's interesting, isn't it, how nowadays we kind of see many more people trying to be politically correct. I was at a party this weekend. Guy was leaving, he said Merry Christmas, caught himself, apologized, and replaced it with Happy Holidays. It's just an interesting culture that we're in right now. There was an editorial in the Omaha World Herald last week, you may have seen it. It was asking the question, is Christmas a religious holiday? Basically, asking the question, does Christmas still exist as a celebration of the birth of Jesus, or has it become more about family and friends and the giving of gifts? What is Christmas? As I've pondered that question, even for the last few days, I've come to realize that no other season, no other time of year do you experience and do you hear so many people with one voice sing rich, robust, Jesus Christ exalting songs. You hear them as you walk through the malls. You hear them on the Christmas specials that are on TV. You hear these songs sung from the mouths of Christians. You hear them sung from the mouths of non-Christians. Joy to the world. Silent night. Hark the herald angels sing. Whether you worship Jesus or not, we all find ourselves singing these songs saturated with deep biblical truth, with impressive gospel realities, and rich evangelical theology. And oftentimes we sing them without even considering the lyrics that are in them. So many of us have the same songs memorized from our childhood. And this time of year, we sing them without savoring the deep truths that are hidden within each verse, within each chorus, within each refrain. So here's what I want to do with the short time I have together this evening. And I know we've got short time, right? Because everybody's itching, everybody wants to get out of here. But with a short time, here's what I want to do. I thought it would be fun to simply look at one song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And as we look at this song, I want us to slow down just enough to savor the richness of this season, to, for just a moment, dive past superficiality into something a little bit deeper. So what do you think? Should we do this? Doesn't matter. I have the face mic. We're going to kind of do whatever I want to do, and that's going to be okay. This song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, was written by Charles Wesley in the 1700s. And a little historical fact, Charles Wesley wrote thousands of songs. He was ministering to very much poor and illiterate people, and he knew that if he was going to teach them theology, train them in the ways of the Lord, he was going to need to do it through song. And I think Wesley rightly understood that at the core of hymns and so many songs that we sing, there are rich lyrics that are intended to be a profession of faith for Christians and to even instruct or evangelize people. So the song Hark the Herald Angels Sing begins with this first phrase, Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. Hark, in and of itself, it's an excited invitation. It's an exhortation. It's even a command. Basically what Hark is saying is pay attention. Look over here. Listen carefully to what's about to be said. Hark, the herald angels sing. Heralds were those who spoke for a king, who declared a king's decrees, and most importantly, warning people to make way for a king as he and his entourage proceeded from one city to the next on a journey. And in this case, the newborn king has just completed an awe-inspiring journey from the infinite to the finite, from spirit to flesh, from heaven to earth, from deity into humanity. So the lyrics, they herald the news of a newborn king. But that's not all. The first verse, let's read it. Let me read it for you. It says, "Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." Here in this first verse, we see a heralding of the good news of reconciliation. You can almost hear the echo of Colossians 1, verses 19 and 20, which says, "For in him all of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or on earth, making peace by the blood of the cross." You see, the Bible says that we have all sinned. Every last one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet to a race of sinful, rebellious people, people who are at odds with God, people who are far from God, the heralds on God's behalf in Luke chapter 2 declare peace. They declare a promise of pardon, an end to the strife. And truly, this ratification of this peace treaty would be completed 3 decades later through the blood of this newborn king that was paid for on the cross. The message continues to ring true year after year that with every Christmas, Easter sits right out on the horizon, that reconciliation is made possible through the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So this first verse is a proclamation. It's a heralding of the good news of reconciliation, that God and sinners have been reconciled through the blood of Jesus, the blood of the King who had to come, who had to enter into creation. This is what we see in the first verse, but the song continues. We look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." If the first verse heralds the good news of reconciliation, this second verse heralds the good news of the incarnation. And if you were here last Sunday, Pastor Bob said it well. The one thing that we, as your pastors, have been praying that would turn over in your minds all week, that would find ways to sink into the dark crevices of your heart, would be the truth that we see in John chapter 1, verse 14. That the Word, who was in the beginning, who was with God, who was God, through whom all things were made, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ became flesh and he dwelt among us. This is the good news of the incarnation. And I want you to see that this truth of the incarnation makes Jesus and makes really Christianity utterly unique. Our Bible, the sacred scriptures, reveal a God to us who is both transcendent and personal. Transcendent and personal. The Bible's central figure is the person of Jesus Christ, who was at the same time fully God and fully human. Transcendent and personal. Jesus upholds the universe by his power, and yet he was pleased to walk with us on this earth. And these two realities do not exist in conflict. The one true God, he is transcendent. He is distinct from creation. He is exalted. He is powerful. He is sovereign. The lyrics tell us, they indicate that he is adored in the highest heavens and worshiped as the everlasting Lord. There's a transcendence, a sovereignty about Jesus Christ. Yet, at the same time, our God is a personal God. He's knowable. He's engaged in the world. He is understanding of us. He is sympathetic to us. See, in the incarnation, God has done the unthinkable, and he has become flesh. Jesus came to earth and took on a human body. And this is what we celebrate at Christmas. The fact that the Virgin Mary bore a child who was the Son of God, that God became human. And this truth about the incarnation makes Jesus Christ and Christianity utterly unique and absolutely distinct from every other world religion that's out there. Jesus, our Emmanuel, is God with us. This is the good news of the incarnation. This is the heralding news of the incarnation that we see in the second verse. But let's look at one more. Let's look at the third verse in this great song, this great hymn. It says, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king." This final verse that we see in this song heralds the good news of salvation. Woven into this verse is one of the last, often quite unfamiliar, prophecies uttered before the coming of Jesus. It was uttered about 400 years by the prophet Malachi, who in chapter 4, verse 2, we can read God speaking through him when he says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." The Son, S-U-N, of Righteousness brings light and life. If you've been around Cormdale the last month, this has been the theme of our Advent season, the theme that the light has come. John chapter 1 says that in him, Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men, that the light shines in the darkness, and darkness cannot, will not overcome it. And this true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. Jesus, the Son of Righteousness, ushers light into the darkness, and all the while he's bringing healing in his wings. And the most significant, the greatest healing of all, being salvation and new birth. See, John 3, 16, 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." And God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Very simply, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, the good news, is that God saves sinners through the life, through the death, and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of God's promises that you read in the scriptures about salvation, about reconciliation of all things, about making all things new, redeeming things, all those things are realized in the person of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus came into this world on a rescue mission to save sinners. To save sinners from death and eternal punishment. The lyric is, "He was born that men no more may die." God entered into human history in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus came. He lived the life that we should have lived in perfect obedience to the Father, in perfect obedience to God the Father. But not only did he live the perfect life, he died a death in our place. He died for our disobedience. He died for our sin. He died for our rebellion. But after his death, he didn't remain buried. He rose from the dead, securing ultimate victory over sin, Satan, and death. You see, to those who have received Jesus, who have believed in his name, these lyrics echo true. Those that have turned to him in repentance and faith, you can rest assured that Jesus has come, and in his coming, he was born to give a second birth. He was born to give a second birth as children of God. And for those of you who have not yet received Jesus, I want it to be really clear this Christmas season, in light of God as he's revealed himself in scriptures, in light of truth, this is why Jesus came. Jesus came to save you from your sin. Jesus came to remove your fear of death. Jesus came to raise you up with him and give you a second birth, to give you an opportunity to be born as a child of God, to give you an opportunity to be a new creation. This was the purpose of Christ's coming. And if you're willing to come to him on his terms, not your terms, on his terms in repentance and faith, he gladly desires to fulfill all of the promises that have been made in him and have been made through him. This is the heralded good news of salvation that we see in this song, rich in theology. Now, there's so much that I could say. There's so much that we could say just focusing on this song. I've only skimmed the surface. And yet, just even in a brief skimming, I want you to see the rich theological truths of reconciliation, of incarnation, of salvation. And my prayer for tonight has been that maybe just this quick journey through these lyrics together would help us move into a deeper appreciation and worship of Jesus during this season. That maybe as we've journeyed through these lyrics, we'd be able to sing this hymn with a new joy, with a new zeal, with new insights. And maybe just as this song, along with so many other rich, gospel-centered, Christ-exalting songs are sung all throughout our city, maybe God would use the treasure found in the truth of these lyrics and graciously save many more. And so many more may find themselves heralding along with the angels, glory to our great Savior, glory to the newborn King. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for this chance just to come together. We thank you for this season, the chaos of this season, the anticipation and the excitement that's found in this season. God, I want to plead with you that you would allow rich, robust truth penetrate our hearts. God, I pray that you would, even for those who have taken the step just to come and to gather here, that you would center us on the incarnation, on God becoming man in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, draw our attention to you. And in the midst of all the things that we celebrate this time of year, let us see you as our ultimate treasure. Let us see you as the true reality that casts all the shadows out on this season. And Father, would you allow us to worship? Would you allow us to honor you, to glorify you in the way in which we respond? Would you free us to sing? Would you free us to enjoy you? Would you free us to enjoy each other? And God, would you be honored? Would you be glorified? Would you be lifted up? And God, we want to pray boldly that even throughout this season, throughout the city of Omaha, throughout the Midwest, you would continue to be calling people to yourself, making people into worshipers of you who hark along with the angels, glory to the newborn King. We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing this hymn?
Hark the herald angels sing, glory on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory. Yes, we'll give you all the glory.